Good.
We are now live. So we don't have to go over much from beforehand. Everyone kind of knows the story by now. So Esther has gotten her position in the royal palace. Things are set up for the ultimate redemption. We just heard the story about Mordechai giving in big son Vaseresh, who wanted to kill Ahasuerus. And now we have to, of course, meet another major character, and that would be Haman. So we start the third parak with Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela Gidal HaMelech Ahasuerus as Haman ben Hamadosa Ha'agagi Ve'yinasehu Ve'yasav as Kisom Ve'al Kol Asurim Ha'sherito. And it happened after this that the King Ahasuerus raised Haman, the son of Hamadosa, from the descendant of Agag, Agag being Amalek, and he went and put him in charge of all of the other government officials. I brought in today a little show and tell, if anybody is interested, and that is, I keep on referring to the Purim and Persian Empire book, so if anyone wants to take a look at it afterwards, in it he points out that in all the archaeological finds, they have never found anyone named Haman. However, there is someone named Hamadosa who appears at that point. So we do have a general idea about it. So, Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela, after what? It says, and was after, what are we talking about? How does this relate at all to the previous story? So, Esther was appointed, Big son of Vaseresh, they were killed. How does this, what right after these things? Several different approaches. The first is Gemara. The Gemara says, number one, Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela, my Achar, after what? Amarava Achar Shebara Akash Baruch Hu Esa Refu L'makam. That God has never punished the Jewish people unless there's already something in place that'll be able to undo the punishment. So once Esther is in place, then we can bring in Haman. A general rule that we have several times. There is no punishment before there is a way out to start with. So therefore, once you have Esther, now we can start the story. The Ibn Ezra has a different approach. Ibn Ezra says, Acher Chamesh Shanim. That this was 5 years later. What? So he has a tradition that this is already the 12th year of Ahasuerus' reign, which is 5 years after the Esther story, which was the 7th year of the reign. So that is, Ibn Ezra Achar means it's 5 years later. Okay, it's an important nugget of information to keep in mind as we try to piece together the story. The Targum Yonason has a third approach, a very different approach. So it says, after what? So Basar Piskamya Halin, Antisar Alas Midas Dina Kadam Ribun Kol Alma. After that, the Midas Hadin, right? How you define Midas Hadin, the judge, the Midas Hadin, the attribute of judgment. But it's more of a, it's less of an attribute, it's more of a person, an angel, etc. Goes before God, says, Kol amarta halo haman rishiya nachas min shushan yushalayim levatlo binyan beis mikdashcha. He said, this guy Haman, he actually went from Shushan to Yerushalayim in order to undo the building of the Beis HaMikdash. If you remember, prior to Ahasuerus, the building of the Beis HaMikdash had begun, and then certain people stopped it. Among those people was Haman. So he says, how come he was never punished? Hakan Rabbi Malka Ahasuerus Yos Haman Bar Hamadosa Dimizaris Agag Bar Amalek. And now you have Ahasuerus going and raising this Haman, who's a descendant of Amalek, not one of our favorite people. Umine Rav Al Kula. Now he's in charge of everyone. Vatiktine Kurse Muyal Koravina Di Amin. So he says, what's going to happen? So Hashem says, here's what I'm going to do. If I just wipe out this Haman guy now, no one will ever know who he was. I'm going to go and I'm going to put him in charge. So everyone will see his downfall. So Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela goes back all the way to the beginning of the story then. And after Haman did what he did, now he's going to have to be punished. So he's set up in this situation. Okay, so we get on with our story. So now that Haman's in charge, he's living large, and what's going on? Beis, v'chol avdei ha'melech asher b'shar ha'melech korim mishtachvim lo'haman. כי חיין ציבו לא המלך, מרדכי לא יכרע ולא ישתחווה. And at this point, everybody's bowing down to Haman, and Mordechai refuses to bow down to Haman. Why does Mordechai refuse to bow down to Haman?
Because we only bow down to God.
You bow down to God?
Someone.
Okay. So. What? So we'll discuss the Jewish. It's interesting.
I thought we did it. What? Well, yeah, we pay homage to God.
Yeah. So in Herodotus, which discusses the time these times in Persia, Haraz was a Greek, but he was explaining what Persians do. It's very interesting. He has this piece which might give us some insight. When they, meaning the Persians, encounter each other's feet, there's a way of recognizing whether those meeting are the same rank. Because instead of hailing each other, they kiss on the mouth. If one is a little lower in status than the other, they kiss on the cheek. But if one is a great deal lower in standing than the other, he falls to the ground and pays homage to the other. So in Persia, bowing down to another person indicates what? That the person has a much higher level than you are. Mordechai, according, would be understandable that Mordechai was not going to accept this rank of Haman, so therefore he never bowed down to him. So again, this would be a very logical approach to all this, and it also would equally explain why Haman is taking this so personally. Right? If you don't bow down to a person in ancient Persia, you're kind of indicating that you are no better than me. And if you have the rank of Haman, you don't take that well. So that is one approach, an interesting approach. That is not the traditional approach. The traditional approach really is more what we heard. There's really two plays on the traditional approach. One is a Gemara in Megillah. Megillah, Mordechai de'igni v'Haman. So what did Mordechai do? Why was he starting up with Haman? Al-kocha de'shavi nafshe avodah zara. That Haman held himself out to be a god. And therefore, he said, as a god, so Mordechai, nothing happening. Right? To bow down to another person, right, at the beginning of a judo match or sumo wrestling, you can do that also, right? That's not a big deal. But the other person says, bow down to me, I'm God, then we have an issue with that. So that's one approach. The second approach was mentioned earlier, and that is the approach of the Medrash. So what did Haman do when everyone bowed down to him? He went and he had an idol embroidered on his clothing. So wasn't that he himself held that he was a god? But he actually was wearing an idol, and that in fact led to the problems. So, one way or the other, again, according to the traditional approach that we have, the reason that Mordechai would not bow down, why? Is because it was a type of idol worship, either to what he was wearing or to him himself. So, as we all know, Haman could kill him for that. Does that make a difference? It's one of the big three. It's one of the three cardinal sins, one of the Gimel Averos Chaburos, that are Yehar Bel Yavor. So you would have to die rather than do that. So that is the...
So how is it that all the other Jews did it?
What?
How is it that the other Jews did it?
So how do you know the other Jews did it? That's an interesting question. Did the other Jews... do it. Now, it's interesting. According to the understanding of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara has the following discussion. The Gemara wants to know, if I bow down to Avodah Zarah, not because I'm worshipping it, but rather for some other outside reason, is that considered Avodah Zarah? I think this is nonsense. But, either me'ava or me'ira. What's me'ava or me'ira? Out of love or out of fear? Here I am, I'm dating this girl. Right, very interested in this girl, and she says, "Only way I'm ever going to agree to date you is if you bow down to this." Great, that's all it takes. Fine. So I don't think this is worth anything. But I'm just doing this for another reason. I'm not indicating that I believe in this. I don't believe in this. So is that considered? Or Yira, if you put a gun to my head and said, you know, bow down, I'm going to shoot you. Okay, bow down, good. I still think it's nonsense. So what's the story with that? Is that considered, is that okay?
No, because if you do that, then she's going to make you do other stuff.
Okay, let's put her aside for the time being.
Or maybe,
or if,
once
whoever.
You start doing that, you may do it again.
So let's go to the second case, where the guy's going to shoot me if I don't do it.
Well, she let that
down. Right, so again, let's say more than that. Right? So you're saying, well, there's a case where they gave their lives rather than do it, and clearly they didn't believe it. Well, any case, actually, where you put a gun to my head and say, you know, either do this or we're going to kill you, clearly I'm not bowing down because I believe in it. So therefore, how could this be one of the three exceptions if there was this exemption of I don't really believe in it? So you're saying it's because it just looks bad. So it just looks bad as a tough reason to die.
Well, it looks like it depends who you are. If you're Mordechai said, and it looks like you believe in it.
Okay, well, so I'm not Mordechai. I'm me, right? So the Gemara says it can't be that doesn't count, because in every case it's like that. But rather, he says as follows: Let's say I go up. And I say, Pete comes out, he says, okay, this is Ralph the lettuce head. Ralph created the world, and therefore we all have to go and worship Ralph. Okay. So everyone kind of laughs. Ha ha ha, very funny, very funny. So, but then they put guns to people's heads, so everyone starts bowing down. But everyone knows it's nonsense. It's not like there is a religion out there that people are... that are generally following. It's a matter of that the only reason that anybody would ever do that was because, okay, that we don't have a choice in the matter. There's our sheets and books even. We have full service. So in that case, the Gemara says, then you're allowed to. If it's a set up religion other than Judaism, and there are people that actually believe in it, then you can't, even if you're doing it for a reason other than you believe in it. But in the event, it's not a religion, it's a nonsense. Right? So too, the argument is here, by Haman, no one believed in Hamanism. Haman got up one morning, he announced that he's God. He starts spelling his name Hay/Nun, because that's what he wanted to indicate that who he was. So, it's not that anyone believes this, and most of the Jews said, this is what makes you happy. So the question is, why not Mordechai? Why would Mordechai go along with it?
I remember kind of a story that I would hear. He owed him his life, or something like that. It was something
correct.
Like Medrash,
right. The Medrash says that Haman was starving, and Mordechai gave him food, and he said, you're going to be my Eved from now on. Right? I've been steering clear of that Medrash. A lot of people talk about it. But, right, but how does that affect this?
Well, because you owe me your life.
Okay, but obviously that wasn't working at this point.
Yeah, but he's his Eved, then he's beneath him, his ranking then becomes...
Correct. So it fits in very nicely with the, you know, according to the secular approach to the story as to why it would be. Right? That happens to work in very nicely with that. But in terms of this... So the Gemara actually says that. So the question is, so Tosfos says, so why didn't Mordechai go along with it? I said, this explains why everyone else went along with it, because it wasn't really an Avodah Zarah. It wasn't, you know, no one really thought that Haman created anything. Right? Yeah, he had a psychological issue. He had a God complex, you know. It happens. Him, Napoleon, you know, Paro, happens to the worst of them. But, right? But in terms of that, so Tosfos wants to know that. So Tosfos says, "Im tamar rava amai lo hishtachvei Mordechai lo Haman." So according to this opinion, that if you're just doing it out of fear or out of love, some other external reason, but you don't really believe in this at all, so that explains everyone else is doing. Why did Mordechai make it? Yeshua b'kamer b'medesh yutzlam imalibo. So maybe it wasn't just bowing down to him. Maybe it's because it was more than that. He had avodah zarah embroidered. He was making a statement. If a person is a person leader, should be able to right to say no. Even though this is technically allowed, I'm making a statement that we don't do this.
Was there any thought that maybe it would be some kind of
You would think that, in hindsight, you seem to be right on it, right? We will have to discuss at some point when the people turn around to Mordechai and said, and whose fault is all this? Interesting point. So a little diktuk here. I'm not making people read, but we're going to do some diktuk. So again, let's go to the puzzle again. Everybody, kor mishalom, everyone bows down. Ki kein tziva lo hamelech, u'mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachver. What tense is that?
Future
tense. So no one was bowing down, and he, future, will not. But did he? We should write, and they all did, and he didn't. They all would, they all agreed to, but he wouldn't. How come we're talking past tense with everybody else, and then we shift to future when it comes to Mordechai? So there's a lot of discussion. The Maharal, we'll just do one of the opinions here. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachar. Kosov yichra v'yishtachar lashon asid. This is talking about future tense. Nishro nase ze pam echaz bovad rak harbi pavim also ze. This wasn't a one-time deal. It wasn't just one time he showed up and Mordechai refused. But this was a constant issue that they had. V'lo kach siv lashon asid ki kach mashma lashon asid. If something happens over and over again, he says the general rule, that's indicative of something that is constantly happening. So that's just a general grammar rule. But there's a second approach. Mordechai could have avoided it. Just don't bump into the guy. Right? So we always tell our kids, so just stay out of their way. They go into this room, you go into that room. So Mordechai, when you don't want to bow down, fine. But just avoid him. You and Haman, are you the same racket club? Why you have to bump into each other? And actually, Yoch Mordechai Levech, Derech Acher, Shaloh, Haya Pogeyabo. He would have never run into him. Well, Yachis Haman, Haya Mordechai Levech, Neged Haman Aldas. He would specifically bump into him on a regular basis and not bow down. So yichro yishtachve kach mashma lo yichro shulosh unasid. I'm not doing it tomorrow either. I'm going to run into you tomorrow, and again, I'm not going to do it. Kol derech kaddish mo yisparach, all to make a kiddush Hashem that he wouldn't do it. Now this, of course, raises the issue that Rachel said shortly. Doesn't he realize that this is going to get us into big trouble? It's you want to be a fundamentalist radical zealot. Gesunte, hey, but you really don't have to get the rest of the nation killed over this. So the Chafetz Chaim doesn't have a lot to say on Megillas Esther, but this is one of them. He makes a very interesting point. He said that remembers what Shevet is Mordechai from? Hasn't been that long. Binyamin. And we said, who else was from Binyamin? Well, the notable characters, right? Mordechai ben Yair ben Shim'i ben Kish. So Kish was who?
Shaul.
Shaul's father. Right, so Shaul, Mordechai, same lineage, same Shevet. Correct? They're both from Binyamin. So the Chafetz Chaim says as follows. Shaul ha-melech b'hanagoso kashachama ha-alag. What actually led to all this? So if you remember the story from Shmuel, Shaul was told to wipe out all of Amalek, and he does most of it. Don't tell him short. He did most of it, right? He, in fact, he killed almost everybody and most of the animals, shall we say. But that was obviously not sufficient, and eventually he loses his position, his monarchy over this. When do we read the Haftarah? Anybody? That was the answer to a trivia question. The only Haftarah that can be read 2 weeks in a row. Same Haftarah. What? Parsha Zachar, that is correct. You read it from Parsha Zachar, and in Yerushalayim, when Purim could fall out on Shabbos, it's the Haftorah for Purim as well. It can't happen here. So when that happens, when you have a Purim Meshulash, that rare case when Purim falls out on a Shabbos, so in Yerushalayim, in the walled cities, they will read the same Haftorah, this Haftorah, 2 weeks in a row. So what was the problem with Shaul? Shaul was too nice of a guy. Right? Kasher Gomel al Agag, when he decided not to kill Agag, Garm Shiel to be on Haman. Right? Since Agag survives, Haman ha-Agagi, had Shaul taken out Agag, this all would have never happened. Well, Zer ha-Chichu Shmuel Novi, or Moroh, b'shem Hashem, nichabdi ki emrachti ha-Shaul ha-Melech. He says, I feel I'm upset that I made Shaul the king. Mordechai sheyatzu mecharotzav. Mordechai was a descendant of Shaul, right? They're both descendants of Kish. Heyro avakosim ki ramos kol begon v'atroos ro yichrev ro yishtacheveh. He is the exact opposite. No matter what, he's not going to bow down to him. Hoya amitz lev begurim. Strong guy. V'ochos v'ozom b'sinas Haman. He didn't bet. He hated Haman like an Amalek, like you're supposed to hate him. Benasa and Nesa Yod of Atalas Homer's Bun of Alaids. Also, Haman Shinolim Rachmanuso shall Zigno Shaul, a Matus Hoch Adam Lios Chazak Kahoma Kahamid Barzal. But there comes a time when you just got to be stubborn. And that's exactly what he was. And in fact, he had to do this because his El Tizede Shaul didn't do it. Right? So this is why he's right in his face. He said, you know, this idea of being nice to your people, it's just not working out. So that's the Chafetz Chaim's approach, that specifically, given his lineage, he had to be the exact opposite and stand up to him.
Like a tikkun.
Right. Okay. I'm not so Hasidic, I don't say that, but that would be the same idea. So, Vayomu Abdi HaMelech, Asher b'shar melech b'orochem, madu al teres mitzvah samelech. What are you doing? Didn't you know the king said everyone has to bow down to him? Vayihi, ki amram elav yom yom, v'lo sham aleyem, v'egidu l'amon l'ros ha-yavdu divrei mordechai, ki yigidu l'hem asher hu yehudi. Very interesting pasuk. So every day they went out to him, they said, you should really bow down to him, and every day they didn't. So they went to Haman, and said, what's going on here? Right, he's not bowing down. Why? Because the people wanted to know, well, what's going to be of this? Why? Because Mordechai said, I'm Jewish. What does that have to do with anything? Mordechai is Jew. And, therefore, the simple answer, again, without getting too involved, is, well, the reason he's not bowing down is because he's Jewish. He says, why don't you bow down? He said to them, because either he thinks he's a god, or because he's wearing an idol. And us Jews, we don't bother. We're monotheists, and the mono is not him. Right? So that's probably the simple understanding. This is a wonderful medrash on this, number 10, where we don't compare this story here to Binyamin, but we go with the other son of Rachel. We think that the orphanage has been split between the sons of Leah and the sons of Rachel. So Mordechai, descendant of Binyamin, is the son of Rachel. And the Medrash points out there's tremendous parallelisms between Mordechai's story and someone else's story, and that is Yosef. How do we see this so parallel? The Yom 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 Yom. So it says that he came every day. Rabbi Yochanan, B'shem Rabbi Yomin, Rabbi Levi, B'ner Shal Rachel, Nasan Shava, G'dulosim Shava. They both had the same test, and they both showed equal greatness. Nasan Shava, what did they do? Ve'ikad Dabal Yosef Yom Yom. Where's that pasuk from? Who spoke to Yosef every single day? Yom Yom. Potiphar's wife, right? That was his test. That Yom. So you see here the parallelism. The Yom Yom there. And he also, I love Yom Yom. Same words. That this is a daily occurrence. Right? Just like Yosef rebuffed Ashes Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, so too Mordechai is rebuffing the people who are telling him to be more reasonable here. And so too, they said he didn't listen to her to lie next to her, but she spoke to her. He Lo shama aleihem. Again, you have the parallelism. Going further. And the rewards are the same, right? Vayosar paras tabaso me al yado veitiro so al yad Yosef, val yabesho so big de sheish. When Yosef's ultimate reward is he gets the signet ring of the king, and he gets the royal garments, or not the, or just royal garments. Kagasiv, Vayosar melchas tabaso asher hevir mehaman veinagum Mordechai. The ring that was given to Haman ultimately is given to Mordechai. Same handing over the ring. Yosef gets to ride in the royal chariot. They call out before him. Ultimately, Mordechai as well will be led on the royal horse, and people will be crying out before him. So you see here that the tremendous parallelism between the two stories. How the test was so similar, and the reward at the end was similar as well. Ibn Ezra really raises this question as well, and has a very different approach. He gives them a share who Yehudi. So he says, because he told them that he was Jewish. Why are you telling them you're Jewish? Why are you telling them you're Jewish, Mordechai? So I hate this guy's guts. You know, what do you got to get us involved in this? Right? You want to have a chumrah, good. Why do you have to put the entire Jewish nation in danger? So the Ibn Ezra and Kuha Hu Asaro said, that's why I'm doing it, because I'm Jewish. I don't have an option. Why did he do this? He could have avoided this. He should have talked to us and said, get me a change of job. Why do I have to sit at the gate where the guy's going to walk in every day? You know, get me a job, you know, give me an office job. You know, I'll fill out papers or something. I'm sure there's something I could do. You can arrange this. Get me early retirement. Things are going well for Haman. You shouldn't be starting up with him. Because in Persia, when you got put in a job, unless the king moved you, you could get killed for switching jobs. This is very interesting. This is the exact opposite of everything we've read until now. Up until now, that we said he was in his face, he was doing this purposely. Ibn Ezra has the approach of that Mordechai had no choice. If it was up to Mordechai, he would have never gotten involved in this. What's he going to do? This is where he is. The guy walks by every day. What do you want from me? So it's a very different approach. Okay. So Haman's walking. Mordechai is not bowing. People are telling him to. He's not listening. He's getting really mad now. He's not taking this well at all. He says, that's it. I'm so mad. Now I'm going to wipe out this guy, Mordechai, but I'm going to wipe out all of his entire people, the entire Am Mordechai. Am Mordechai is the Jewish nation. That's what it is. So, but the Gemara says not so much, because wait a second. Kigilo es Am Mordechai, vekshaman lashmi es kol Yehudim. So the Gemara says that kol Yehudim and Am Mordechai are different. Am Mordechai were the Talmidei Chachamim. So it says that Haman first he was going to kill Mordechai. He said, no, I'm going to kill all the rabbis. He said, no, I'm going to just kill all the Jews. I'm really riled up now. That's what I'm going to do. That all the Jews everywhere else in this kingdom, they're going to get it. B'chodesh Rishon hu chodesh Nisan b'shnas shteim asol b'melcha chayrosh hi pilpur hu agorol mifnei Haman v'yom v'yom echodesh v'chodesh shneim asol hu chodesh adar. So, in the first month, which is known as the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of Achashverosh's reign, right? So that explains where the 5 years came from, how we got from 7 to 12. He peel poor hu agorol. So he went and he had a poor. A poor is? Lots. This is an important word, poor, because poor is going to go plural later on and become? Purim. Where does this word poor come from? Does it appear elsewhere in Tanakh? Poor Richard's Almanac? Where it's from? Ibn Ezra, Zos Mila Parsis, Pirusha Goral. This is a Persian word. This is not a Jewish word. And in fact, the entire word of Purim is not a Jewish word, but rather it's Persian. So in fact, in my show and tell today, in my excellent volume, there is actually a picture that the Yale Museum has. Wait till you see this. Yale, also known as the other YU. So here you have from the Yale University Museum a Puro Kuyub. These are lots that they used to draw, and they were called, actually, as the administrators, they called Purus, from the word poor. So, in fact, that is exactly what they had. So as we say, that this is, in fact, a word that was introduced to the Jewish language from the Persian language. Which is interesting. It's not just a throwaway word. It, in fact, becomes the name of the holiday. The name of the holiday, it's not a Jewish name. We took over it, but Purim is a Persian name. Now, besides that, interestingly, that's not the only words that are not Jewish here. There's two other words in this pasuk which are not Hebrew words. Can you name them? Whenever you're ready, Sharon. That was Sharon Kaplan. Everyone online knows as well. Nope, anybody? Anyone know what pasuk we're in? Okay. So, two words that you really would think were Jewish are not, in fact, they don't really appear anywhere until this time. And that is the word Nisan and Adar. Nisan and Adar are also not Jewish words. Who would have thunk it? Let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban tells us in number 14. We'll get back to number 13 afterward. So he said, "Kvar iskir Rav Shem Zeh inyun v'amru shmos hachadoshim alu imanu mibavel." The names of the months, Tishrei, they're all Babylonian. They're all Babylonian names that we adopted later on. In the Torah, you never hear these words. When they say, "What month is Tishrei in?" you'll say, seventh month, correct. Chodesh HaShvi, when is Pesach in? Chodesh HaRishon, right? Right. We always have, by numbers, we don't have names of our months. Right. The names of the months were introduced later on. It was only at the time of the Babylonian exile that we adopted the Babylonian names of the months, but in fact, these are theirs. In fact, is in my excellent Purim in the Persian Empire, they have a list of the Jewish months and the Persian months, and you see that they are very similar. Very similar. But the months that when we talk about Chodesh Rishon, who Chodesh Nisan, Chodesh Rishon is we're doing it in ours. So it's interesting because what's the giveaway? What word indicates a translation in this pasuk? What? Who, right? Poor, hu hagarol. A poor, that means lots. Chodesh Rishon, hu Chodesh Nisan. Right? Chodesh Nisan, hu Chodesh Adar. This pasuk, the word who, is translating words. To everyone, it's interesting, Ibn Ezra points to the fact that the translations get flipped, though. In the case of poor, you have a Persian word, which gets translated into Hebrew. In the other cases, you have what? The Hebrew word, they said, by the way, this is how you say it in Persian. Which is interesting to know. But again, in this one pasuk, you have three translations. Marduk. Right. So, maybe yes, maybe no. Again, there's a pretty good chance that Mordechai, I'd say much better than 50%, is not a Jewish name, and it's a Persian name. And Esther probably as well, because if you remember Esther, we said that's not really her name, it's Hadassah, right? Is that bothersome that people have non-Jewish names? So it's against the Beferish Uncle Moshe song, "I have a name, I have a lovely Jewish name." So again, that's something worth noting, I'm sure. But Moshe, So that's like, that was pretty Egyptian, right? Right? We have Kiyamayim Bishisiyu, we put a Jewish spin on it. But, right, the idea that they had non-Jewish names seems to be standard, right? That doesn't... So again, but that's what they were known as. So a name is whatever you're known as. So the fact whether the source was a Jewish source or a non-Jewish, doesn't really matter. That's what he was known as. That's what he was known as. That's the long and short of it. It doesn't really matter in terms of that. But here it's interesting how we're actually translating words, it would seem, into Persian. So the Ramban discusses this at length. So he said that number 14, we imported these from Babylon. The months never had names. Why didn't we? Because when we speak of the months, we wanted to refer to a specific miracle. And that was? Exodus. We see it in which month? You can use your Babylonian, it's okay. Nisan, that's right. Right? It was done in Nisan. So therefore, even though originally, according to the Ramban, the first month used to be Tishrei, because what we were commemorating originally? Creation of the earth. Then we shifted over and we said, no, we want to pay homage, the Torah tells us to pay homage, to the miracle of the redemption of Egypt. So therefore we started counting that is now the first month. When in fact it came true, when we are thanking God not for redeeming us from Egypt, but thank you for redeeming us from Babel. Thank you for bringing us back. So therefore we started using the Babylonian names to remind us of the miracle that we were saved from the exile of Babel. These are all Persian names. These aren't ours. And it's not until the Nevi'im that are written chronologically all the way at the end. Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Megillas Esther. These are the only places you're going to see the months called this, because historically these were not the names of the months beforehand. Which is why, right? L'chein, Amar HaKosav, HaRishon, Hu Chodesh Nisan, Kamo Hipil Pur Hu Hagoro. The Ramban said the word Hu here means translation. Don't let that word sneak by you. Three times in this one pasuk, we're translating words from a foreign language into Hebrew. And they're all words that you really pretty standard. Names are months. That's very much part of the Hebrew language. And Purim. That's the other one. And that's why, if you go to Persian countries, the Ramban said, they call it the same thing as we do. They said, ultimately, when the Mashiach comes, we're going to change names of the months again. Because that's going to be even a greater redemption. So, you know, we'll have to throw out our calendars and get new ones. You're radical. 13, which we skipped over, is a well-known medrash that it's from the Gemara, actually, and I couldn't not mention it. So the lot came out in which month? Adar. Everyone knows the story. And why was Haman so happy? Because Moshe died. But what didn't he realize? Very interesting. Hikel Pur, Goro, number 13. Tana came Shinot the Pur v'chodesh Adar Samach Simcha Gedola. He was happy as happy could be. I got Moshe's yahrzeit. It's interesting. A lot of sects of Judaism celebrate the hilula when somebody dies, the yahrzeit. You see, yahrzeits aren't such a happy day, right? When the guy was born, his birthday. That's something good happened. When a tzaddik is born, that's a good time for the world. When a tzaddik dies, not as much. I once went to, my friend told me he was once davening in a shul, and they never say tachanun. I said, why not? He says, always some Rebbe's yahrzeit. So he said, well, what if it's not? He said, it's a simcha, nobody died. But you slice it. Okay. So what happens? So Haman's got his ideas worked out. He's got to work on this. Okay. There is this nation out there. They're spread out throughout the entirety of your kingdom, and they have different religions, and they don't follow what you follow, and I don't think you should keep them. So that's his argument. Interestingly, what does he never mention?
Jews.
Right, he never mentions that we're talking about the Jews here. Which is odd. He just kind of, refers to it in general. The Gemara says that this was really a shortened version of his pitch. He had a much better anti-Semitic sales pitch. It says as follows, Yeshu Amachad Amarava Yreka Diyada Lishna Bisha Kaman. No one knew how to speak Lashon Hara like Haman did. He was like at best. Amalei Tanech Linu said, why don't you just start kill him? Amalei Mistafino Melokov. I'm afraid of their God. I remember what happened to the previous kings who started up with God. I don't think I'm interested. Yoshnu Minamitzvus. Don't worry about it. They're not so religious anymore. He's not interested in them. Amalei Isbu Rabbanon. He said, okay, but they're up the rabbis, at least they're religious. Amalei Amechadu. No, I can't. They're one nation. Just because the rabbis are, unless the people are, Haman says they don't got a chance. Shema Tomar Karchan Yosef Achusecha, and you think perhaps you're going to have a problem. There's going to be large gaps in your kingdom if you wrap them all out. Mufuzarim Heim Bein Ha'amim. They're spread out. They will hardly be noticed. Shema Tomar Is Hanominayu. Said maybe you'll think. Well, maybe I'm gaining some of them. Mufurad. They're before. Kapreda Zashino Osa Paris. Like a donkey. They don't do anything. Shema Tom, Ike Medinasa Minayu. Tamulamachusecha. So maybe I have a king. No, they're just all over the place. Don't worry, get rid of them. But Daltaim Shami Kalam. So what does it mean that they have a different religion? What? Well, Achri Minam Velo, Nasbi Minam Velo, Manasbi Milan. They have nothing to do with us. They don't eat with us, nothing. So he says, listen to this one. They don't listen to you. They're mafki l'kula shata. These are Rosh Hashanah things that they're not paying taxes because they're always on vacation. Either it's Rosh Hashanah, or it's Yom Kippur, or it's Sukkot, or Shmini Yatzeres, or Pesach, or Shavuos, Shabbos. These guys just are never working. You're not getting anything out of them. They eat and drink and they make fun of you. Why? Listen to this. I feel nafal's vuv because of shalechad behem. What if a fly falls into a cup of wine? What would he do? Zagar takes the fly out and he drinks the wine. Bim adoni amelach no gei because of shalechad behem. But if you would touch one, chovto bekarkav veino shosei, he would spill it out. Yayin nesach. If a fly falls in, he would drink it. If you touched it, he wouldn't. Now I'm mufuzo mufurad ben ha'amim. That's seen as a rank out for us, that we're spread out. It's interesting, when we bench at a bris, there are several harachamans at the end. One of them is, number 16, harachamans gomekonu mishicho holech tabim, bizchus chasam lamulos tabim, mishem shishen mishiach, because in merit of the bris, v'vasa besoros tovos v'nichubim, the Eliyahu should come down and tell us good news, to us, the nation that is spread out. So is that a rank? So we wear it as a badge of honor. Haman sees it as a rank. We see the fact that despite the fact that we've been spread out, we still remain Jews. Right? He says, they're all spread out. We say, no, we're all spread out. We're Americans, we're Israelis, we're Italians, we're French, whatever we are, but we're all Jews. And now we wear that as a, with pride. So what does he say? He says, if you need a little additional help, he says, and I'll also give you 10,000 talents of silver. What is that in actual weight? So, it happens to be, in the dig, they found talents. And this is one, this is a official weight, mighty fine-looking weight, and this is equal to 4 talents. 4 talents are 267 pounds.
Wow.
He gave 10,000 of them.
Oh, wow.
That's around 300, over 300 tons of silver. What? 700. That's a really an over. Again, so that's this. Here, this is the official weight. So I think that they are high, but not that high actually. The Medrash says that Haman was one of the two richest people to ever live. Who can name the other one?
Donald Trump.
What? Donald Trump. I hear what? What? So Korach is actually the other one. Okay, so according to the Forbes Forever list, those would be the top two. So he offers him an obscene amount of money. So what does the king do? Vayasa melchus tabatome al yodovi ne'el ha'homen ben amadas agig sarei Yehudim. So you got that, he gives it over. The Gemara comments, Imal Mel Tov Yikasev, number 17. He said, God knew this was going to happen. What did he do? Therefore, we gave a Machzis HaShekel to undo what he was going to do down the road. Which is why Parsha Shkolm is read when? Before Purim, at the beginning of Adar, we read Parsha Shkalim, in order that we should be able to undo this. Interesting, Tosfos in Megillah later on says that he has a tradition. Shemati me'asha asara alfe kikar kesef olin chatzi shekel l'chol echa miYisrael. If you take 600,000 half shekels, that's the same as 10,000 kikar kesef. So people say, wait a second, but we know that what were the shekels used for? They were used for the Adonim. And we know that the Adonim only weighed 100 talents, and he gave 10,000 talents. So that's a good question. It could be there's a difference between the talents that the Torah talks of and the Persian talents. So, one way or the other, either it is or it isn't. These are two things. So, with that, the king, Haman, turns around and says, you got a deal. And it's interesting that Haman is referred to not as Haman here, but as Haman ben Hamadasa ha'agagi tzarer Yehudim. Indicating that Ahasuerus knew exactly who he was dealing with here. This wasn't a political decision, but he knew that he was being part of this, and the Gemara says that. Marshal de Ahasuerus from Haman b'ma dar domer. What was this like? V'shnei b'nei adam, le'echad ha'yatel v'soch tzadeyu, v'echad ha'yacharet tol tzadeyu. One guy has an mound that he needs to get rid of in his field, and the other guy has a ditch. Baal Charetz, the guy with the ditch, says, "Me yitem li tel zeh b'damim, I'll buy your mound." So the answer is, this dog was asked, "Amaro baal charetz baal tel machor li tirach." He says, "Sell it to me." Amaro tur ata b'chinam v'halavai, take it for free. I'd be happy to get rid of it. Win-win situation, right? So therefore, it would seem that there is no indication really that Ahasuerus ever took the money. He offers the money, he gives him the, but it never says that Ahasuerus takes the money. That seems to indicate that Ahasuerus is that big of an anti-Semite. He said, I'll do it for free. Right? Because you look closely, he never says it. So what happens there? Yosar Melchus Tabato, Omer Rav Abba Barkana, Gedolos Horos Tabas Yosem Arboi Mishmona Neviyim Mishevin Neviyos, Snabul Ebri Yisrael. This handing over the ring was greater than the 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses that they had. Why? Why is handing over a ring better than the 55 prophets? Shakul Wolzim Mutav. Every Navi says you got to do better. Gives all these drushes. Never happened. He gives over the ring. Oh, the people learn how to become religious again. And in fact, in terms of Musa, there's nothing greets a nice, solid shot of anti-Semitism. So in fact, so Yomar HaMelech HaHaman, HaKesav Nosum Lach, V'Ama Asos Bo'at Kato Be'Nacha. You keep the money, do whatever you want with it. So what did he do with the money? Interestingly, I add this here, the Yaros Dvash, the Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, but you know what he did with the money? He gave it to tzedakah. Haman gave all the money to poor people. What? So what? Why did he
do?
What?
They were poor no more.
Yes. So do what you want. So do what you want. He said, I should give it out to poor people. So therefore, I give it out to poor people. God will like me. And I'll be successful. Sounds a little bit like some other enemies we have these days who run as charitable organizations. It's very history has a little bit of an echo here. So interestingly, but he did it. He did a mitzvah. Did he get rewarded for it?
No.
Yes. In the last paragraph, we call Malcolm Grumma Zuchus Tzedakah L'Haman Shelo Nich Zairo. Ultimately, his line lived on. He was killed. His children was killed. But he had grandchildren we see later who lived on, and this is because that he gave tzedakah. Even a guy like Haman. How do you like that? Okay. Yud Beis, Vayikru Sofrei HaMelech Lachodesh HaRishon B'Shloshes HaYom Bo, Vayikru Sev Kachol HaSheh Tziva HaMan Es Al Achash Tar Panei HaMelech Vel HaPachos HaSheh Al Medina Medina Vel Sarei Am Va'om Medina Medina Kirchsava Va'am Va'am Kirchono V'Shem HaMelech HaChashveiros Nichto V'Nechtam V'Dehar V'As HaMelech. So it was the 13th day of Nisan, of the first month, and Haman writes out, and then the word goes out to all of the nations and all of the leaders of the nations saying this is what's going to have to happen. What was Esther doing on the 13th of Nisan?
Making Pesach.
Esther was, according to the measure, she was making Pesach. Look at it, number 21. Shomer mitzvah yedavra zu Esther shayta asuka b'mitzvahs b'yurachamitz. Esther was cleaning up for Pesach. That in fact it is noted here in the Medrash that even Esther had to clean up for Pesach, and the zechus of cleaning for Pesach saved the Jewish people. Just putting that out there.
Mm-hmm. I'll think about that next year.
I'm sure. This isn't. So yeah, but it's interesting. That's the date, right? The 13th day of Nisan is Erev Pesach. Benishos svarim biyadaratzim el kol medinos hamelcha hashmid laarogu abedus kol yudim mi narvad zaken tafin noshim biyomecha b'shloshar tzav chodesh neimasar hu chodesh adar ushlolam lavos. So the word went out and says, okay, 11 months from today, on the 13th day of Adar, all Jews should be wiped out, men, women, and children, young and old alike, and whatever booty is out there becomes hefker. Now, of course, the Shlom Lavoz is going to come up later on again. Even after, they're going to say, and this was, why do they keep on talking about the fact that the Shlom Lavoz, that everything will be, that the that their property will become hefker after they're killed? This is obviously a way to encourage them to kill people. In the event that you kill them, you can keep their money. So this wasn't just a matter of if you want to, you can do it, but we have here an incentive program. And the scenario you put up for everyone, they should be ready for that day. You've got 11 months to prepare. Haratzim yotzu dechufim b'dvar hamelech v'ados nisnan b'shushan b'ira v'hamelech v'haman yoshu l'shtos v'yir shushan v'holchon. And with that, the word gets out quickly. Haman and Achashverosh are celebrating. They're having drinks over their victorious plan that ultimately will wipe out the Jews. And however, the city of Shushan, as the article said, was bewildered. As shock set in. That here we are, we know there's a date has been set, and we better take care of it before then. Okay, so we'll have to wait till next week, see what happens.